솔직히 가을이나
popular Ukrainian folk group called Horpina, and that was their version of a traditional Ukrainian folk song called Kalena, the highbush cranberry. Добрий вечір і вітаю вас всіх, шановні радіослухачі, на радіопрограму «Наш голос» Радіо Українського коріння. При мікрофоні Павліна, дякую, що рішили перебути зі мною наступну годину. Hello there and welcome to «Наш голос» Ukrainian Roots Radio here on AM 1320 CHMB Vancouver. I'm your host Павліна and I am delighted to have you with me. We've got a great program lined up for you today. We've got a recipe for cucumber soup, very seasonal. This week as well, Renata Hananets will be along to tell us all about the last klezmer on Ukrainian Jewish heritage. As well, an interesting follow-up to last week's book review of Marcia Skripik's Making Bombs for Hitler. Her book is a fictional account of a young child's experience in the Nazi work camps, and Linda Mikolayenko, our favorite Saskatchewan storyteller, will be along with a real-life story of a woman who actually lived through that horrible experience and on whom Marcia partially based her story. So stay tuned for that. As well, we will feature the audio of a speech given by Lisa Shimko of the Ukrainian Women's League of Canada on Canada's military aid to Ukraine. So all of that coming up, as well our usual proverb of the week, other items of interest, and great Ukrainian music. And Ukrainians are very thankful to Poland for their support of Ukraine's bid to join the 21st century and break away from the shackles of their large neighbor to the east and north, who are insisting on dragging everyone back into the dark ages. So thank you to Poland for your wonderful support, and we'll be giving a musical nod to that country throughout the program. Up next is a brand new release by a Polish group called Amper A and Hey To Ya.
Zerwij swój plaster, niech zaboli cię. Poczuj jak kurczy się bez skóry nerw. Jazda po bandzie w tej grze, zrób to i piec swój do bólu żyć. Łatwa droga to droga w bladą mgłę. Silnym będziesz ty, dasz poranić się. Słuchaj, tak pęka twój szklany klosz. Głową na miazgę rozwalasz go. Jazda po bandzie w tej grze, zrób to i piew swój lęk. W stroniach tętna szał, w uszach szelestwi. Coś ci mówi, że chcesz do bólu żyć. Łatwa droga to droga w bladą mgłę. Silnym będziesz, gdy dasz poranić się.
Foresight and generosity of its donors, the Taras Shevchenko Foundation has been investing in the future of the Ukrainian-Canadian community for the past 50 years. Since 1963, the Taras Shevchenko Foundation has been funding initiatives that strengthen our Ukrainian-Canadian identity and enhance our Ukrainian-Canadian cultural heritage. These include fine and performing artists and arts groups, museums, cultural centers, education, as well as authors, journalists, and the Ukrainian-Canadian media, including this program. The foundation strives to become the premier not-for-profit foundation in a Canada which acknowledges the Ukrainian-Canadian community as a fundamental component of Canadian society. Nash Holis listeners are encouraged to support this vision through continued donations into the future. To apply for grants, make a donation, or for more information, contact the Shevchenko Foundation at 204-944-9128, toll-free 1-866-524-5314, or visit ShevchenkoFoundation.com.
Choć dookoła sroga zima, zmarznięte usta, okrzyk wolności się zaczyna. Co dziś powstało, niech żyje wiecznie i nie zginie. Ty nie stój obok i podaj rękę Ukrainie. Nie wmerła, nie wmerła Ukraina, kiedy razem jesteśmy jak rodzina. Jest nadzieja, co wiecznie przypomina, że nie wmerła Ukraina. Przyjaciel, co wielki znalazł się potrzebie, wyruszył w drogę, która poprowadziła ciebie. Idź ramię w ramię, a przyjaźń wasza nie przeminie. Nadeszła pora, by podać rękę Ukrainie. Że nie wmerła Ukraina, kiedy razem jesteśmy jak rodzina. Jest nadzieja, co wiecznie przypomina, że nie wmerła Ukraina. Kiedy przyjdzie czas na bal, że nie wmerła Ukraina, kiedy razem jesteśmy jak rodzina. Jest nadzieja, co wiecznie przypomina, że nie wmerła, nie wmerła Ukraina, kiedy razem jesteśmy jak rodzina. Jest nadzieja, co wiecznie przypomina, że nie wmerła Ukraina.
And another group from Poland called Taraka. And that song dates back to a few months to the times of the Maidan in Kyiv, but still very timely today. Give Ukraine a hand. And we'll be back with more music, but for now you're going to need to tie on your apron. Here's Sylvia. And now, Ukrainian Food Flair with Sylvia Molnar. Tips for Ukrainian cooking.
Hello. I don't think there is a more refreshing vegetable soup than chilled cucumber soup. It's light, easy to make, and very healthy. I like to whiz all the ingredients in a food processor. This soup works as an appetizer or a side dish with your meal. Here's some interesting facts about dill. It is available as seed and weed, the leaves. Dill seed are flat, oval, and slightly brown. Dill weed leaves are bright green And the flavor of dill weed is delicate, more subtle than dill seed, and imparts a pleasing flavor to mild or bland foods. Dill seed have a strong, aromatic, and characteristic flavor. Dill seed are used in dill pickles, salads, sauerkraut, green beans, egg dishes, tomato juice, soups, sauces, cottage and cream cheese, stews, pickled beets, salad dressings, breads, butters, and in preparing fish and chicken. Dill weed is used in salads, sauces, egg dishes, tomato juice, vegetables, breads, fish, shellfish recipes, cottage or cream cheese, salad dressings, noodles, rice, and may be used as a garnish. There are many delicious recipes for cucumber soup. The one I have tonight is one that is very popular with Ukrainians. You'll need the following. 2 cucumbers peeled, 4 green onions chopped, 8 radishes finely chopped, 1 teaspoon salt or to taste, 4 tablespoons of lemon juice, 1 tablespoon of dill weed, and a dollop of sour cream or yogurt to garnish if desired. Grate the cucumbers, mix with the chopped onion, diced radish, lemon juice, salt, and water. Then taste to adjust the seasoning. Sprinkle with dill weed and chill thoroughly. Garnish with a dollop of sour cream or yogurt if desired. Until next time, try it. It's Ukrainian.
Thanks, Sylvia, for sharing your Ukrainian culinary expertise on Ukrainian Food Flair here on Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio.
Знати, коли ж моє буде.
And that was Migrena from Edmonton from their CD, Kalameka Casualties. And Visit Yabko, the Hanging Apple. And that's another little nod to Poland. If you're in Ukraine, anywhere in Eastern Europe, make sure you eat lots of Polish apples. And that song is going out to Mr. Putin. Coming up next is Paris Takeyev from Winnipeg, and this is going out to all of you wonderful Nash Holis listeners. Keep your dancing boots laced up. Here is Paris Takeyev with the Telen Kolomeka. Ukrainian Jewish Heritage, hosted by Renata Hananets in cooperation with the Jewish Heritage Museum in Lviv, Ukraine. This special Nash Holis feature is brought to you by the Ukrainian Jewish Encounter Initiative based in Toronto, Ontario.
Welcome to this week's look at Ukraine's Jewish heritage. Klezmer is a traditional Jewish non-liturgical music with roots in Galicia. Like other folk traditions, klezmer music was passed down from generation to generation. Initially, klezmer was performed at weddings because structurally it corresponds to traditional Jewish marital rites. The actual term klezmer music was coined by a Soviet musicologist in the late 1930s. It gained popularity in the West in the 1980s. One of Galicia's few klezmer musicians to survive the Holocaust was Leopold Kozlovsky. Known as the last klezmer of Galicia, he is a passionate promoter of klezmer. Now he lives in Kharkiv, Poland, where he teaches klezmer to non-Jewish students. Leopold Kozlovsky comes from a long line of klezmerim. His grandfather, Pesach Brandwein, together with his 12 musical sons, founded the most famous klezmer band in Galicia. One of Leopold's uncles is clarinetist Naftul Brandwein, regarded in America as the king of klezmer. In 1918, Leopold Kozlovsky was born in the Polish town of Peremyślany, near Lviv. Due to the shifting borders of the war years, it is now located in Ukraine. Before the Second World War, half of Peremyślany's 7,000 inhabitants were Jews. In September 1939, Poland was divided between Germany and Russia, and the town became part of Soviet Ukraine. By 1941, the town's population had nearly doubled as Jews fled there to escape the Nazis. In July of 1941, the German army arrived in Peremyślany. Within 4 months, several labor camps stood nearby, and the slaughter of the town's Jews had begun. In May 1943, less than 2 years later, Peremyślany was declared Judenfrei, cleansed of Jews. When the Nazis came, Kozlovsky fled east, along with his father and brother. His mother stayed behind. She believed that Nazis would not harm women. The men got as far as Kiev. The SS discovered them hiding in a cemetery in the outskirts of the city. They were freed after Kozlovsky's father, Tsui, asked the SS if they could play something before getting shot. As they played, Leopold recalls watching the Nazis' rifles lower bit by bit with the music. The Kozlovskys returned to Premyshlyane, where Tsui was shot along with 360 other Jews. Leopold's mother and brother were murdered soon after. Leopold spent several months in Nazi labor camps. In one, he taught a Nazi officer the accordion in exchange for food. In another, the Nazis forced him to compose a death tango and to play it while other Jews were led to their death. After the war, Leopold Kozlovsky studied music and graduated from the Lviv Conservatory and Kharkiv's Musical Academy. He settled in Kharkiv, where he became a leading musical figure in Poland. He conducted a military orchestra and established a world-renowned Roma and Jewish musical ensemble. He also directed the Jewish Theater in Warsaw, composed music for stage and screen, and edited the Polish version of Fiddler on the Roof. Leopold Kozlovsky is well known and revered in the North American entertainment industry. He performed with Itzhak Perelman in the film In the Fiddler's House and even appeared in Schindler's List in the role of an advisor. He continues to perform and intends to keep playing until his last moment. Music, he says, is his life and his revenge. In 1994, American klezmer musician and filmmaker Yael Strom released a film documenting Kozlovsky's first trip back to Premyshlyane since 1945. The title of the film is The Last Klezmer, Leopold Kozlovsky, His Life and Music, and it is on YouTube. This is Renata Hananets at the Faina Petrikova Scientific Center for Judaica and Jewish Art in Lviv, Ukraine. Until next time, shalom.
Thank you, Renata. Щиро дякую. Join us again next week for another episode of Ukrainian Jewish Heritage here on Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio, brought to you by the Ukrainian Jewish Encounter Initiative. And that was a klezmer version of the Ukrainian national anthem for you, performed by klezmer musicians Oleg Lapidus on clarinet and Yuval Havkin on piano. That was filmed at the Kedma studio, arranged by Klez Mozart's band. And that was recorded in London this year. Ви слухаєте українську радіопрограму «Наш голос» радіо українського коріння на багатомовній радіостанції АМ 1320 у місті Ванкувері. And you're listening to «Наш голос» Ukrainian Roots Radio on AM 1320 CHMB Vancouver with your host Pavlina.
Last week, we brought you Myra Junik's book review of Marcia Skripik's novel, Making Bombs for Hitler. It tells the story of 9-year-old Lida, who was taken from her home and family by the Nazis and forced to work under unbelievable adversity as a slave laborer in Nazi Germany. Marcia's character is fictional, but the setting and events actually happened to real people. Marcia created her characters and based her book on real-life experiences of people like Katerina Gellner, who is now 90 years old and living in Montreal. As a teenager during World War II, Katerina was forced to work as a slave laborer in a German factory far away from her home and family, as the character in Marcia's book. 10 years ago, Katerina Gellner shared her memories of her experience with Saskatchewan storyteller and freelance broadcaster Linda Mikolayenko. Here's Linda's documentary called Hungry All the Time.
Поведення дуже добре. Зі співпраці дуже добре. Загальний вислід дуже добрий.
Katerina Kijak was an excellent student.
Дуже добре. З кореспонденції і рахунків дуже добре. З німецької мови добре.
On June 30, 1942, after finishing her second year of high school, she would have been proud to go home and show her report card to her family. Instead, she and her fellow Ukrainian students in the village of Otrachowa in German-occupied Poland were forcibly taken to the nearby town of Sanok and put on a train bound for Nazi Germany.
They come to the school and they took the whole school. So my family, I never say goodbye to them. From the school, they took us to the Sanok. They put us on a train, the full train. We were sitting on the floor. Everybody was sitting on the floor. And when somebody told a family that they took us from the school, I remember my mom come. And she came to the, when we was already in a train, she came and she said, she called me, Kashu, where are you? I was crying, I said, I'm here. And she was crying too, she said, I'm never going to see you again. And that's all I heard her. And they took us in a train and to the Germany.
She held on tight to her report card. It was one of only two items Katerina had with her to remind her of her home, as she spent the next 3 years living in barracks and working as a slave laborer in a factory outside the city of Siegen.
We was 8 girls of us. We were sleeping near the factory. 2 girls was from the same school. And the other one from the other villages, we didn't know them, but we met them there near the factory. And was lots of French prisoners and Russian prisoners, mostly of them French. And I was working in a factory. I was welding without glasses. My eyes are burned. When I went to the doctor here, because I'm wearing the glasses, and when he see me first time, he say, what did you do with your eye? I say, why? They are completely burned.
Katerina was never told the purpose of her welding work. In World War II, the steel factories around Siegen supplied the parts for German submarines. So it's not unlikely that she helped make U-boats for Hitler.
The pipe was outside, it was 6-7 yards long. We have to come outside, brought him inside, put on a stand, and I was welding. The whole time when I finished, I took the pipe on the same carriage and I put outside, and I took the other one. Every day the same thing, the whole 3 years. The pipe was very, very heavy, yeah, but we have to do it.
Forced to work long, hard hours without adequate eye protection was difficult enough, but it was the lack of food that was the hardest to endure.
And we was hungry all the time, terrible, terrible hungry. In the same factory was a kitchen, big kitchen. They was cooking for German, they cook different, and for us different. Every day they give us brukva. I don't know how you say it.
Turnip.
Turnip. Yeah, every day, same thing. I cannot look today on that. Yeah, we was very, very hungry all the time. I never wrote home that I was so hungry, but one time my cousin come and visit me. When he came, I have nothing to eat. I was hungry. He was looking at me and he say, "You have nothing to eat?" I say, "No, I have nothing to eat. That's the same thing every day." So, and I told him, "Don't even try to write home to tell my mother what happened here." But he didn't listen to me. My mother, when she received the letter from him, she baked the bread and she sent me. The bread came to the factory, was all white, zatzvil, blue, you know.
It was all molded?
Yeah, but I eat it anyway. And eat and I give my friends same thing, we eat everything.
Just as Katarina shared her moldy bread with her friends, she was also the beneficiary of others' generosity.
French slaves, they received parcels from home. They come when I was welding the pipe, and he come to, when he was smoking cigarette, he say he come to, you know, to the light, and he say, "Be careful on the neck and the end of the pipe, there is something for you." So they leave us always two or three biscuits every day, because they receive parcels from France, and they always put something or a piece of bread or mostly biscuits, and they put to the pipes. But they say, "Be careful, gentlemen, who don't see you." Because they cooked for them and for us
the same thing.
So they could not eat that, but we have to eat because we have nothing else. But they receive a parcel from home and they always give us something to eat. Not much, little bit, but they gave us.
On Sundays, the factory was closed, but one of the local women took a risk that ensured Katarina got a decent meal from time to time.
One lady was working in the same factory with a German lady, and she asked me if I can come on Sunday to help her in the house to do something. I say, "Yeah." She say, "I give you eat." So I, with the pleasure, I went on Sunday. The whole day I was doing for her anything she told me to do, and I did it. But she gave me something to eat on Sunday. But she say, "Don't say anything to anybody what happened, because we are not allowed to take you home." But if nobody saw it, she took me.
And there was always the fear of Allied bombs.
But when the plane came, the siren went on, when they was bombing, so we stopped the working and they closed all the lights and everything. And when the bomb finished, so we was working again.
It must have been scary.
Well, scary, sure. It was scary.
Fortunately, because of its location outside the city, their factory escaped the shelling. And in such conditions, Katarina spent 3 years of her young life.
We was not allowed to go anywhere. We was crying, that's all. Yeah. And we was praying to God to the war to be finished soon so we could be free.
Freedom finally did come in 1945. And eventually, Katarina made her way to Canada, met and married Ostap Gellner, and raised a family in Montreal.
So I have that my report card, and I have my book that I went to First Communion, and I still have it now. I took from the school. That's all I have memory from my school and from my home. My report card and my First Communion book.
It was that book of prayers that sustained Katarina through the difficult ordeal. She read from it every day.
Молитва до Пресвятої Тройці. Щиро дякую тобі, всеблагий Боже, в Тройці Святій Єдиній, що ти охоронив мене тієї ночі від наглої та несподіваної смерти. З вдячності за цю ласку віддаю нині тобі. I cannot believe myself that I went, what I went through. But I am telling you the truth now, whenever I pray, I mostly cry. And I thank God that I went through everything and I'm still alive. Найсвятіший Господи, дякую за все.
That was the spiritual anthem of Ukraine, Boje Veleke Yedene, God the Great One. And that was performed by the students of the National Music Academy of Ukraine. And that is going out to Katerina Gilner of Montreal. Thank you so much for sharing your story. You can find out more information about the experiences that Katerina and others like her went through during World War II as slave laborers in Marcia Forchuk-Skripuk's book, Making Bombs for Hitler. We did a review last week on Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio, and you can find the novel through your library or at your neighborhood bookstore.
Козак на війноньку, прощай, сказав дівчинонько, прощай, дівчино, чорнобривонько, їду в чужую сторононьку. Прощай, дівчино, чорнобривонько, їду в чужую сторононьку. Дай же, дівчино, пустину, може, у бою загину. Темної ночі закриють очі, легше в могилі спочину. Темної ночі закриють очі, легше в могилі спочину. Дала дівчина пустину, за кубою загину, темної ночі.
Haida Makiev from Ukraine with a modern rendition of a song dating back to World War One era. And it is called Yichau Strelets na Vinoinku. A sharpshooter went off to war. And sharpshooters today in Ukraine are going off to war without a whole lot of equipment. But some countries in the world, in particular ours, are coming to their aid. Last Thursday, Lisa Shimko, the president of the League of Ukrainian Canadian Women, spoke at a ceremony at Canadian Forces Base CFB Trenton. It was organized by the Prime Minister's office and was attended by Canada's Minister of National Defense, Rob Nicholson, as well as members of Canada's Parliament, the Ukrainian ambassador, various dignitaries, and the media. The announcement ceremony was held in front of the Hercules cargo aircraft just before it lifted off with the first delivery of non-lethal military aid for Ukraine's defense forces. The first plane arrived in Ukraine last Friday, and two more airlifts are expected. Here's a recording of Lisa Shimko's remarks.
Minister Nicholson, Metropolitan Kaliszczuk, Bishop Chmielar, Ambassador Przystajko, members of Parliament James Bazan and Ted Opitz, representatives of the Canadian Armed Forces, ladies and gentlemen. It is an honor to be at CFB Trenton to participate in today's announcement and ceremony. Not since World War II has Europe faced a greater threat to peace and stability than that posed by Russia's current military aggression against Ukraine. The fight currently being waged by the Ukrainian people and their defense forces against Russian state-sponsored terrorists is nothing less than a fight to protect our global security and geopolitical stability. It is a fight in defense of the very principles that we Canadians cherish so dearly: human rights, democracy, peace, security, and the right of every nation to protect its independence and territorial integrity. The Government of Canada has stood shoulder to shoulder with the Ukrainian people as they aspire to rid themselves of authoritarianism, strengthen their democracy, and find their rightful place in the European family of nations. Together with my Canadian colleagues, we were privileged to join Prime Minister Harper on two historic visits to Ukraine. Most recently, this past March, after the Euromaidan protests, Canada has demonstrated unwavering leadership on the world stage by rallying its G7 and international partners to take decisive and punitive measures against Russia. Further preemptive steps must continue to be taken by Canada and its allies to stop the escalation of Russian military aggression. We have embraced Canada's efforts to improve the business-enabling environment in Ukraine through the recent trade development mission that was already mentioned, taken by Minister Ed Fath, and some of us present here today were participants of that mission. And just recently, we welcomed intensified levels of sanctions imposed against Russia in the banking and defense sectors. With over 1,400 people killed and 4,000 injured, the Ukrainian people have paid too high a price for their freedom to see the world simply stand by and hope for the best. Our joint efforts here today are a testament to the fact that we Canadians believe there is no moral equivalence between terrorists and peacemakers, between aggressors and defenders, between those who invade and those who protect. And so, in addition to the principled actions taken by our Canadian government, in my capacity as chair of the Canada-Ukraine Parliamentary Centre founded by Canadian Friends of Ukraine, and as the newly elected president of the League of Ukrainian Canadian Women, I wish to acknowledge the outstanding efforts of several Canadian institutions and NGOs represented here today, namely Buduchny's Credit Union, BCU Foundation, the League of Ukrainian Canadians, and the International Council in Support of Ukraine, all of whom have been at the forefront of providing humanitarian assistance, medical aid, counseling, social service support to the families of the fallen heroes of Ukraine's Euromaidan, and now the Ukrainian civilians and young military personnel injured by Russian-backed terrorist attacks. As Prime Minister Stephen Harper recently stated, Canada has a historic track record of standing up to systems of oppression, be it Nazism, communism, or present-day terrorism. Our presence here today is a testament to the fact that so long as we remain vigilant and stand together with our partners in defense of the values that unite us, the promise of freedom, democracy, and security for Ukraine and every other peace-loving nation shall never die. Thank you.
Lisa Shimko, president of the League of Ukrainian Canadian Women, speaking at Canadian Forces Base CFB Trenton at the announcement ceremony shortly before takeoff of Canada's first delivery of non-lethal military aid for Ukraine's defense forces. And that was on Thursday, August the 7th.
Любі мої діти, мила мамо і тату, я йду на війноньку нашу землю захищати. Не плачте за мною, якщо в полі згину. Все віддам за любоненьку нашу Україну. Єднаємося, браття, з великого дину. Нехай ворог знає, ми за Україну. Богу душу нашу віддамо єдину. За нашою землю священну Україну. Богу душу нашу віддамо єдину. За нашою землю священну Україну. Ла-ла-ла-ла-ла.
Another song about Ukrainians going off to war, that was Shabya and Bratya Ukrainsi.
Here's what's coming up this week in Vancouver's Ukrainian community.
On Wednesdays, catch Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio broadcasting live from Nanaimo to North and Central Vancouver Island, the Gulf Islands, the Sunshine Coast, Washington State, and Greater Vancouver. Wednesdays from 12 to 1 p.m. on CHLY 101.7 FM, Radio Malaspina. Contact TV airs on Multicultural Channel Omni 1 and on Channel 8 on Shaw Cable Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. with a repeat broadcast the following Monday at noon. If you have announcements or story ideas you'd like aired on Contact, please email them at studio@contact.ca. That's studio@contact.ca. And at 5 p.m. Sunday evening, slip your radio dial right back here to AM 1320 CHMB Vancouver and join me for another hour of fun here on Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio. In between broadcasts, you'll find upcoming events, program information, audio archives, podcast feeds, and much more at www.nashholos.com. And just a heads up to Nash Holos listeners, our time slot will be changing here on AM 1320 effective November 1st. Nash Holos will be airing on Saturdays at 6 p.m. Ну, ми вже скінчили нашу програму, вже час додому сказати до побачення, але перед тим я хочу залишити вас такими словами мудрості. Людей питай, але і свій розум май. And our proverb of the week translates as, ask advice of others, but rely on your own common sense. Well, that just about wraps it up for another edition of Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio. So to take us home, we'll have Jason Chornoboy from Steinbach, Manitoba, and on the theme of food bans, imports, bans, Canadian aid to Ukraine, and so forth, he'll be wrapping up our show with a medley of two songs, Maple Sugar and Boil the Kapusta. I'm Pavlina on behalf of all of us here at Nash Holos and AM 1320. Thanks for listening and Dobranich!